You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It is time for Section 4 of Amendment 25 to be put in place, and his cabinet should send to Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, as I think it's identified in the Constitution, that this man should be removed from office. Section 25 should be put in place. He is dangerous. He is tearing up again, you know, this country, undermining our democracy.
That is Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California. This is August 17th, 2020. Congresswoman Waters and the other left members continue every resist movement they can. And once again, bringing forward Amendment 25. Let's just remove Trump by Amendment 25. We're on the edge of the election. Do you think they're beginning to worry that maybe they're going to lose, so we can start looking for other ways? They should be able to remove him come this election. Should they not be able to do that if they are going to win? And they're also claiming already that if he's defeated, he will not leave office, and he will challenge, and he will stay, and he will just throw a hissy fit. These Democrats are flailing away. What can we grab hold of to defeat this man, to make sure he is removed? And some of the polls are showing closing numbers. Even CNN polls are showing it's a dead heat between Biden and Trump, when previously Trump had been way behind. And this poll was taken since Kamala Harris was named as VP. Could it be the violence in the streets is having a resounding effect upon the American public? I think it is. Coronavirus still goes through the nation. We understand that. We're still battling it. We're still trying to decide how best to do it. Can we open schools, not open schools? What are we doing about getting businesses restarted, getting the economy back in gear? But also, in the meantime, we have these continuing riots in the streets. Not protests, riots. And the left is just not condemning them. And I think the American public, even those on the left, are thinking this: we cannot go down this road. I'll give you an example later, over the next 2 hours, of one of the most vicious, I mean absolutely vicious things someone could do to someone else. And in this case, the target was Donald Trump and his family. This is the kind of thing even members on the left are shaking their heads and said, I wish you had not gone there. We'll get into that a little bit later. And, of course, everyone is also saying, you know, Trump was probably going to try to stall the election, push it back because he wasn't going to win. Constitutionally, he cannot do that. But they're all probably watching what happened with New Zealand. The Prime Minister of New Zealand announcing she's delaying her country's general election by a month after a spike in coronavirus cases due to take place September 19, now pushed back into October 17. Well, they can do it. Our Constitution forbids it. And, of course, we have today the Democrat convention opening. It's going to be a 2-hour virtual event, unlike any other convention you've seen. They cannot do their in-person convention in Milwaukee, and that is a gut shot to the city of Milwaukee, which was looking for all that money to come in. So speakers will be delivering speeches from all across the country. You won't see large crowds you normally see. We'll see how well it goes on the video viral efforts. And if there's any problems with it, I will tell you now, they will blame it on Trump and hacking or something of that nature. So their four-night event begins, as again, the poll shows that Biden and Trump or dead even. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi says we've got to have mail-in voting. And she's calling back members of Congress to deal with mail-in voting because they think, again, Trump is trying to destroy mail-in voting by affecting orders inside the Postal Service. She's not bringing them back to deal with coronavirus, but mail-in voting. We're going to get into that. And the question, the birther argument about Kamala Harris not eligible to be VP, that story started circulating. And you might be interested where one of the articles about that appeared. We've got a lot to cover in the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And, of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on. And you
gotta move on at night.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Why did the Oregon State Police leave? Yeah. I think they left because they were disgusted. Nobody likes to go to all the trouble of arresting somebody, which is hard work, and then just have them turned loose with no consequences whatsoever.
That is an attorney in Portland, James Buchall, talking about how his city is absolutely falling apart as anarchists take over. And, of course, we have had state police in Oregon sent in to protect the courthouse. Remember that in Portland? Well, now they have left. And last night, not a lot of violence around the courthouse. But I don't think word had gotten around that the state troopers had left. We'll see what happens tonight, which means federal agents are going to have to be back on the line to protect the courthouse because police in Portland are busy all over. In fact, last night, at least 60 9/11 calls went unheeded. 60 calls to 911 and no response from police. You know why? Because they've had continuing protests that are actually riots. They start off as a protest. It doesn't take long for police to declare a riot. They did so around midnight last night. A crowd of hundreds blocking traffic for 3 hours. They closed off property, engaged in violent conduct with the police. The building where they were attacking and surrounding, owned by the city, used by city and county employees, including the police bureau. Many of those in the group throwing objects at police cars in the parking lot, spray painting over security cameras, shining those green lasers at police officers' eyes, pelting police with softball-sized river rocks, which they carried up to the location, and glass bottles. Two officers went to the hospital. And there was a photo shared by the police bureau showing a rock that was just under 10 pounds in weight thrown by someone posing as press. In other words, getting closer and closer because they had press on their chest or on their back. And reporters, I mean, if the police thinking it's a reporter, they're going to kind of let them get a little closer. They're going to have to be careful about that. And that's going to endanger legitimate reporters trying to do their job. All of this continues because the left is allowing it. And you heard that Portland attorney say, why are they leaving? Why did state police? Because they're not going to see any support. Why are they going to stick around and make arrest if they're not going to be prosecuted? State police deciding they're going to leave and go into the county areas elsewhere in the state where if they make arrest, they will be prosecuted. This prosecutor, this district attorney in Portland, had decided the other day not going to prosecute anyone arrested for, quote, nonviolent misdemeanors. And they basically consider throwing rocks at police nonviolent, attacking police nonviolent, setting fires nonviolent. At last report, 500 have been arrested, but fewer than 50 prosecuted. Because you've got these left-wing Democrats, again, basically giving them an opportunity to continue. And everyone in the state sees it. They see it happening in front of their eyes, and the nation sees it. It goes back to leadership, or lack of leadership. Again, some of the comments from the Portland attorney, James Buchholz.
The leadership of Portland is deliberately encouraging this disorder. And so that's what they want. I don't know exactly why they want it, but that's what they want. It's a horrible thing. And the more sinister aspect of it is that there seems to be a conscious alliance between the Democratic Party and these Antifa elements to create disorder and to bring about a sort of a mob rule to affect what they would call revolutionary change. And it's a very un-American phenomenon. And we now have elected leaders in Portland who basically have declared entire classes of criminals are just fine as long as they're carrying the preferred message of the Democratic Party.
That's exactly right. As long as they're pushing the desires of the Democrat Party, especially the radical Democrat Party, they're going to get a pass. The Portland, Oregon mayor the other day actually stepped outside the circle of protection from the Democrats briefly, when he declared that, look, if you were trying to burn down a building with people in it, that's attempted murder. That should not even be a question. That should be a direct statement to anyone. That is not First Amendment guaranteed right of free speech. Nor is it taking a full crowd, going to the home of one of the police officers, commissioners, with a bullhorn yelling outside, shouting racial remarks, various curse words, knowing the target and his family with his children were inside. Last night, or actually over the weekend, this had been going on continually, and at times you had the rioters chanting, kill a cop, save a life. Kill a cop, save a life. And in some cases, Antifa, when some folks are deciding to leave because they were actual protesters and they realize this is out of hand, I don't want to be here anymore, there were pictures of Antifa members attacking them because they're leaving. And then there was a story, and the video's been out quite a bit, about a guy in a white pickup truck. The story you originally given was that he was trying to drive through the crowd with his pickup truck. He apparently was trying to go down a street, and the crowd suddenly got in front of him. But he stops, clearly, because a woman is being attacked. So he stops to get out to help her. And then as she runs away, someone tackles her and pushes her face into the pavement. And then they turn their attention to the guy and continue to yank him out of his vehicle. We're not letting him get back in. Hit him repeatedly, kick at him repeatedly. And the last kick came from a guy from nowhere because the guy's on the ground already dazed, trying to figure out what's going on. A guy comes running up and drop kicks right into his face, knocking him cold onto the pavement. There were, I will point out to you, there were members that were there, whether, I don't know if they were Black Lives Matter activists or members of Antifa who had had enough, or if they were just other citizens, but they were trying to pull some of the attackers away. But for the most part, the intent was to continue. All of that in Portland. It was not a good weekend in Minneapolis. Minneapolis police say, once again, and I'm looking at a story written here by, let me see, I don't know what the source is. It says, protesters vandalized the Minneapolis Police Department's 5th Precinct building and allegedly shot fireworks at officers. The idiots must be writing these stories, or those on the left. You don't call them at that point protesters. You should state rioters vandalized the Minneapolis Police Department 5th Precinct building. And there was no allegedly shot fireworks. Obviously, fireworks were being fired at police. Police admit it started peaceful, but once they got to our door, it became violent. Again, throwing rocks, throwing paint on the building on the cameras, and again, commercial-grade fireworks shot at police officers. No reports of injuries to the officers this time. By the way, in Minneapolis, they've seen more shooting victims so far in 2020 than the entirety of 2019. That's according to the Star Tribune. Do you know why we have more violence in all of these cities, including New York, Chicago, elsewhere? Because the mob is getting the green light from the left. They're basically encouraged. It is not enough to say, well, I don't condone such action. You've got to step up and condemn it. Otherwise, we are headed for a very bleak future, as the Portland attorney noted.
There is a point at which there is something called the Anti-Insurrection Act, where a state can become so broken that the ordinary processes of law don't work anymore. And at that point, there is almost an obligation on the part of the United States to restore order. I don't know if we're there yet, but we're definitely going in that direction.
Yeah, I would think we're definitely going in that direction. And again, when you look at members of the left who are elected, that even sit in Congress, not some local mayor in some Democrat-controlled city or state, but look at Congress. Do you see members of Congress on the left calling this out and condemning it? Show me one. Show me one. Now, what you're getting is either silence or actually encouraging. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, Democrat, she said, and I'm going to read for this for you. Donald Trump knows that his failings are on the ballot, that we have lost hundreds of thousands of American lives that were preventable. And see, there they go again. They want to drop all of this on Trump, the fact that COVID came to our shores. You're going to blame Trump for that, correct? And if you're going to do that, are you not going to give some attention to the New York governor who ordered nursing homes to accept COVID-19 patients? Nursing homes, those inside, the most vulnerable for COVID-19. Are you not going to raise some questions about that? No, we're not going to do that. They're going to turn around and try to drop all the deaths in the nation at the feet of Donald Trump. But you even look beyond that. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley says, There needs to be unrest in the streets. For as long as there's unrest in our lives, and unfortunately there's plenty to go around, you do know, of course, I'm sure you know, that if you have a fire burning, you set up a little cookout, or maybe a campfire, or maybe you're going to have a little outing and people are going to gather around a bonfire and just have some fun. You do know you don't just take a can of gasoline, go over there and try to douse more gasoline on it. You do know that. These on the left apparently don't know it. Or maybe, yeah, they know exactly what it will do. It will explode and go everywhere. And that's what they're after. When you got a member of the U.S. Congress saying there needs to be unrest in the streets, we're not talking about peaceful protest, unrest, the kind of things we're describing in Portland and Seattle. They think American public will take it. Do you? Will you take it? Will you accept that fact? And then, of course, you've got the Democrats all concerned about mail-in voting, that's the way they want to see this election carried out because they know it opens up the door to fraud. And Nancy Pelosi even is calling Congress back to deal with that issue, not coronavirus, but mail-in voting. That story, when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the Democrats' convention starting today, and in the background, they're still trying to figure out other ways they can defeat Trump and anything they can do to malign him and slander and slur and attack him. It's politics. That's politics. You have to expect that. Although this, the attack upon this presidency, has been unprecedented. Mainstream media lining up and carrying the water for the Democrats. Because they did not want to see this guy win either. You saw it on election night as they had to report Hillary lost. Hillary lost. They were almost in tears. They thought there's no way. They thought, oh, you know, he might get more popular vote, but he certainly won't get the Electoral College vote. And that's where we have our blue wall. He'll never get over that. He blew it apart. And, of course, what are they wanting to do now? Get rid of the Electoral College, saying Hillary got more popular vote than he did. That's assuming the votes were accurate. And, of course, now mail-in balloting. They want to push that. They want to make that happen because of the virus. If these folks could get in the street and protest and riot, they can damn well get to the election poll and vote. There will be those who, because of vulnerability, yeah, they should do mail-in. Absentee is another option. So you're not in the midst of everyone. You do it early. But what we have now is the Democrats saying that Trump is trying to steal the election by messing up mail-in voting. Pelosi has called members of the Congress back for Friday. That'll be after their convention ends Thursday. And then supposedly over the weekend, they will work on not on getting coronavirus relief money out to Americans who are suffering, but what they're going to do about the Postal Service and claiming that Trump is in the midst of trying to destroy it and using Postmaster General DeJoy, Louis DeJoy, and they're going to have him up in front of them to answer charges that he's deliberately trying to slow vote the mailing. And you know one of the things they point to? They claim that Trump has been deliberately crippling U.S. Postal Service, even forcing it to remove mailboxes. Let me give you some facts. During the Obama-Biden administration, 14,000 mailboxes were removed. 14,000. But now that they see there are not enough mailboxes as there used to be, it's got to be Trump. I'll remind you again, in 2009, the Postmaster General proposed moving to 5-day-per-week mail delivery to cut costs. Obama is criticizing it for not keeping up with private sector competitors. And the Obama-Biden administration considered closing nearly 4,000 post office locations, cutting 12,000 postal jobs. So if you have any problems with the election, the voting, or rather the mail service at this point, you want to talk about Trump, that's fine, but pay attention to the facts. And you also have state and local officials who've set arbitrary deadlines for post-marketing ballots, and they're having trouble getting them out on time. And the other problem that comes with mail-in balloting, the balloting counting can go way past the election day. Because when you get a mail-in ballot, it already has pre-postage on it. It will not be stamped on the date it was mailed. So it comes right in, and they may still be counting votes Friday, Saturday of the election day. If they need more votes, they'll continue looking for them. You doubt that? You doubt it? Well, you just stand by and watch. Coming up, how the mainstream media is absolutely ignoring anything to do with Russian invasion.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
More FBI employees have been indicted than Trump family members. In the Russia probe, more FBI employees have been indicted than Trump family members. That's why they didn't cover it. You mean, Comey and the Democrats and the D.C. media belittled us for looking into FISA abuse. They belittled us, and lo and behold, Michael Horowitz finds 24 instances of misconduct, and now we have an indictment and a supposed guilty plea. So that's why they didn't cover it. It doesn't fit their narrative.
The words of former Congressman Trey Gowdy, who had also served as chair of the House Oversight Committee, talking about how the mainstream media Friday and over the weekend ignored the expected guilty plea to come from a former FBI lawyer, Kevin Kleinsmith. Yeah, it was not seen. It was not reported at all on mainstream media. I saw some stats. I think it got 20 seconds on maybe CBS, maybe 22 seconds on ABC. In other words, it was ignored. If you followed any of those, you didn't know this story happened. It is back to that same old premise. If we don't report it, it didn't happen. This is part of the investigation of U.S. Attorney John Durham, charged with reviewing the investigation into links between Russia and the 2016 Trump campaign. Kleinsmith referred for potential prosecution by the Justice Department's Inspector General Office, which had also conducted its own review of the Russian investigation. Now, he is not named specifically about altering an email about former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page, but his attorney's already speaking out and saying, my client made a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. When you go to the effort to actually change a document, that's not a mistake. You are trying to create your own narrative and fabrication. He altered an email about former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page to say that he was not a source for another government agency. Page had said he was a source for the CIA. And the DOJ relied on the assertion as signed by FBI lawyer Kleinsmith as it submitted a third and then final renewal application to continue to eavesdrop on Page under the FISA Act, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. So he's expected to plead guilty to one count of making a false statement. But when the news broke Friday, we told you about it here. And then the other networks, I just don't. And here are the facts I mentioned a moment ago where I thought I'd seen some numbers. Here they are. How much did CNN give to that story that night? Zip. How much did MSNBC, the Rachel Maddow show? And she had constantly been all over the Russian collusion story. She made that her nightly feature, beating that drum repeatedly that the Russian collusion was going to drag Trump down, yank him out of office because he got in illegally. She did that continually. And then, of course, when the decision was made, there was no Russian collusion. After 2.5 years and multi-millions of dollars, she began to move away from it and ignore it. And so what about this FBI agent, former FBI lawyer, changing a document? What did the Rachel Maddow show say about it? Nothing. NBC Nightly News, again, no coverage of the development, and yet they were also lead the Russian collusion story. Every night they had it, put it up, put it in their face. Pound it over and over again. CBS Evening News actually spent some time on it. Oh, how much? Larry, how many seconds? 22 seconds. 22 seconds for it. ABC's World News Tonight, better than CBS by 4 seconds. They went for 26 seconds. So as Trey Gowdy was saying, I can write the headline for them. He said, I can write the headline for them. That's why more FBI agents have been indicted and charged than members of anyone connected with the Trump case. And yet the mainstream media can look away. Trey Gowdy says, look, I see these guys in operation. I know what they do. He said, and it's this kind of thing absolutely unveils it. He said, because you've got the Democrats claiming that they're all about law and order and justice. And certainly when it comes to the White House, and we're going to make sure the Constitution is protected, when in fact they were doing everything they could to undermine and destroy not only Trump, but in the process the U.S. Constitution. Why? Because they can. Or at least they can with the help of their allies in the mainstream media. Folks want to know sometimes, I get this question from time to time, and I'm sure other talk show hosts of this nature across the nation get it too, that why do you think the Democrats are so incensed, and why do programs like yours have success and gain followers left and right? Well, because the American public's waking up more and more. I know a lot of folks will say, I'm tired of politics, I don't want to discuss it, I don't want to know anything about it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I warned them, I said, well, okay, you go ahead and walk around with your eyes closed and your ears covered, and you wait and see what happens on election day if you don't get involved. If they were doing this after losing the election the first time around, with Hillary, when they lose this next election, what do you think they're going to do then? The battle and the election against Hillary was important, very important. Obviously having to do with Supreme Court justice appointees and the direction of the Supreme Court to a large extent. And other federal judgeships. But this time around, the country truly is at risk. The American way of life is at risk. You do know if Hillary had won, we would not know any of these details about the lying of the FISA warrant and inside the FBI and the DOJ. We wouldn't know any of that. It would have just been put aside. Maybe 50 years from now, it would be opened up somewhere. And whether or not folks would care then might depend upon if they are allowed to have an opinion, unless it coincides and duplicates and echoes the leftist. Trey Gowdy again on what's at stake and has been at stake.
Whenever you try to, first of all, stop. You know, remember, Peter Strzok promised to stop it. And right. Then they had an insurance policy in the unlikely event that he won. I mean, President Trump is right. There has been a cloud cast over his first term as president, and that cloud was manufactured by the Department of Justice and the FBI. So if you want a justice system that we can all have confidence in, and that's why people are setting cities on fire, then how about start with the FBI?
Yeah, but it's not going to happen as long as the left continues to ignore the facts. You know, in the news business, in the TV news business, for decades, TV news was very bad about reporting economic news and covering stories that had to do with the economy. Just didn't, you know, it's not sexy. It's kind of hard to tell. A lot of folks don't understand it. A lot of reporters didn't understand it. So we just leave that to somebody else. What we're really good at on TV is covering fires. Oh, yeah, we get pictures of those fires, those flames. That's a good story. It may be a vacant warehouse in the middle of a town that no one even lives near, but it's great video, and it's going to be the top of our newscast. And the left knows that game. But I think it's going to backfire on them. As I said in the beginning, the coverage of the rioting in the street and the increasing knowledge that more stuff was hidden inside the FBI and the DOJ as they tried to remove Trump from office and fabricate information, I think it's going to have blowback. At least I pray it does. Just hold people accountable. Just do that. I don't care if you take one side or the other. I really don't care. I do, but I'm going to put that aside. Just hold folks accountable. And let's start with the FBI and the DOJ, and then let's start looking at those who encourage these acts of violence on the streets. So the Democrat convention launches tonight. Let me pay some more attention to that when we continue.
Larry Connors USA.
Last Friday, in case you missed it, I ran a clip of what was titled A Time for Choosing, also known as The Speech. It was a speech given through the 64 U.S. presidential election campaign by future President Ronald Reagan. He made it in October, just days before the election, as Barry Goldwater faced LBJ. I put it up on our Facebook as a backup for those who actually missed the program. It's still there for you at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. If you've not heard it, I encourage you to go listen to it, because Reagan clearly warned us about today's Democrats in that speech in 1964. In part, he was talking about the Cold War and the enemies being Russia, but they also are very clear analysis, I should say, linkage to what we're seeing with the Democrats at this point. So tonight they began the National Convention for the Democrats. You know, 1 year ago, Democrats in Wisconsin, oh, they were so excited and, you know, looking forward to this convention coming to their town. It was going to be massive for them. They were expecting something like 50,000 in Milwaukee. Originally, it's going to take place in July, but it's going to be 50,000 there, and they're going to dump in something like $250 million into that key presidential battleground state. It was going to be exciting. I mean, Milwaukee had so many problems and difficulties, pretty much stereotypes as home of Miller Beer, Harley Davidson, and the 70s hit sitcoms of Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. That's the way it was classified by a writer for AP, and I would agree that's probably correct at that time. What else do you know about Milwaukee unless you grew up there or anything of that nature? But again, it was also considered so much flyover country. And so for the DNC to make Milwaukee the national spotlight for the Democrat National Convention, but it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. They're not going to do that now. They're not going to be thousands going in. The convention's going to be virtually virtual. All of it, of course, to officially nominate Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for president and vice president. I'm looking at a piece written by Eric Swalwell, California congressman, House Intel Committee chair of the Democrat Steering and Policy Committee. He says, this convention will offer Americans from all walks of life the opportunity to hear from our party's leaders. Says it gives us an opportunity to come together to build a better, stronger, fairer America. Fairer, as if it's not yet, of course. And he talks about the value of the ticket, Biden and Harris. He says it represents the best of our party, pragmatic, thoughtful. Give me a break. Give me a break, but that's what they want to say. That's fine. It's their convention. They can use all the words and puff and imagery they want. The Republicans will do the same starting a week from today when their convention opens. Of course, he does not mention, and I will be interested in seeing if there are any remarks made about the violence in the streets. See, they want it to happen, but they don't really want to get involved and say anything directly. Unless you're someone like Congresswoman Presley, who's already a member of the squad of the far, 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 far left, and saying we need more unrest in the streets. And, of course, they're already shouting that Trump's trying to threaten our U.S. democracy. And all of that has to do with they want to do more mail-in balloting, saying we got to do it with this virus. We have to have mail-in balloting. No, we don't. And yet I'm looking at a piece written for CNN Politics by Stephen Collinson of CNN and NNN, and he says, Trump is spewing outrageous falsehoods about non-existent fraud in postal balloting. So according to this guy, there is no fraud in mail-in balloting. We know there is. And it's not just on the Democrat side, and not just on general elections, presidential elections. All elections are subject to fraud. But they're saying now that Trump is trying to ruin any mail-in balloting and voting. Well, you got to keep in mind, a lot of the states have said we cannot get the ballots out soon enough. Now, whose fault would that be? It would be the state, but they're going to put it at the feet of Donald Trump. And if you requested a mail-in ballot, I don't know if you'll get it in time or not, but I will encourage you again, you make sure you vote. It's your vote. You use it the way you want. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, you know what I'd like you to do, but you make your decision. And I hope you make it based on facts and not hysteria on either side. Next hour, we'll get into more of the hysteria that you have the left trying to push and amplify, and Trump being called deplorable. Oh, that's that phrase again. And then we have the question. is Kamala Harris constitutionally eligible to be VP? The birther issue, next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.